I am in Virginia in the middle of an ice storm. So we're going to talk about the many, many weather adventures that I've had in this mobile podcast command unit in podcast 982, the Bob Davis Podcasts. And we're going to be talking about mobile podcast command. Mobile podcast command is as much a character in these podcasts as I am, especially now that I'm doing the Nomad thing. And my insurance provider is State Farm through the Kim Nybo Agency. And I've often told the story of why. And I'm just going to say off the bat, it's customer service. She is phenomenal at customer service, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, I had an insurance agent for many years that provided my auto insurance. They kept raising the rates, even though I wasn't getting in accidents or getting tickets or anything else. Never heard from the guy. He never called to ask how I was doing or anything else. And finally, I decided that I wanted to switch providers. And I remember seeing Kim Nybo's picture on the billboard out on 35. And I thought, well, I'm going to give her a call and see. She saved me hundreds of dollars in premiums for auto insurance. And when it comes to customer service, I've often told the story about how we were on the side of the road, me and Mobile Podcast Command, with an alternator problem in the middle of the night. And I called Kim Nybo. I called Tammy at Kim Nybo, one of the team members at Nybo Insurance, and she was on it. She took care of me, and you know, she handled roadside service. They didn't want to come tow me, and she handled them, and it was pretty amazing. So the whole point here is customer service. I've been dealing with all kinds of companies recently because I'm dealing with my mom's estate and everything else. And the one thing I've noticed is a lot of these companies that are so big and so powerful are absolutely abysmal when it comes to customer service. They will do above and beyond what you think they'll do. So very quickly, Kim Nybo got me insured at minimal cost. The customer service is great, and I'm proud to refer you to Kim Nybo Insurance and to endorse the entire team at the Nybo Agency. They work as hard as I do, and they're always on it. They're in Columbia Heights and Minneapolis. Cars, boats, motorcycles, auto, home, property, business, and life. Kim Nybo Insurance, the Kim Nybo Agency, 763-571-6111. That's 763-571-6111. If you're thinking about changing, call Kim. She'll hook you up. Click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com that says Kim Nybo Insurance, or click on the links at the bottom of the blog as well at thebobdavispodcast.com. When it comes to manufacturing, I want to talk about Depot Star. This is the American design, engineering, and manufacturing company with an inventor's heart. That's Mark Korn at Depot Star. If you're looking for a manufacturer, look no further than Depot Star. Click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com or check them out online at depotstar.com. That's D-E-P-O-T-S-T-A-R, depotstar.com. Standing outside Mobile Podcast Command, we're going to get back in shortly because it's very wet here in Virginia. This is what an ice storm sounds like. And I'm going to tell you the whole story in this podcast. But this is what an ice storm sounds like. And we'll step back in Mobile Podcast Command here shortly. But it's kind of cool because you can hear the ice falling off the trees. If you've never been in an ice storm in the Southeast, Virginia very seldom gets real cold. Now, right now, in all across the United States, we're dealing with very severe winter weather. And I'm not a weatherman, so I'm not going to get into the Polar Express or whatever the heck it's called. And all these things that bring this cold air down into the middle part of the country. And then that mixes with the warm air that's coming up from the south, or the air that's being spun through out of the West Coast, moving across the country and getting caught up in that sub-zero temperatures and the jet stream and all those inner workings. If you want that, watch the Weather Channel and you'll understand what is going on with the weather. I'm experiencing the weather. So in an ice storm in this part of the country, we don't, and I say we, because, like I'm a native, I did live in Virginia for a long time, so it's not like I don't know about Virginia weather. One of the things that they say in Virginia, and they say this anywhere, they say it in Minnesota too, well, if you don't like the weather, just wait a minute because it'll change. Because weather is constantly and ever changing. So winter in Virginia, especially in the southern portion of the state, or of the Commonwealth, as it is called, you know, if you're from Minnesota, if you're from Chicago, if you're from Michigan, if you're from North Dakota, if you're from Vermont or Maine, if you're from Montana, this is not what I would call the kind of weather that's really challenging. But it is challenging if you live here for a lot of reasons. And somebody said this to me today. Last year at this time in Virginia, it was 65 degrees. And in fact, just 3 or 4 days ago, we had a string of days that were in the mid-60s because the February sun anywhere is pretty intense. So at some point, the cold weather has to give way because the sun, we're moving toward the spring equinox, and then the sun is going to start staying up longer, and it just gets more intense. And this is obviously how winter starts to sort of do its last gasp and fade. Now, where I'm from in Chicago, and also Minneapolis and St. Paul for many, many years, more years than I spent in Chicago, the weather doesn't break in the spring. The spring is when Minnesotans generally have the worst weather in terms of precipitation. But in Minnesota, as North Dakota and Iowa and all up in that the northern tier of the Midwestern states, right now they're having this bitter cold below zero. 20 below is the actual temperature. That's not a construct of wind chill. I don't even want to know what the wind chill is up there. You go outside, and if you're not wearing gloves, your hands will literally freeze because it is 20 below. That is something like 60 degrees colder than your refrigerator. It's actually probably even like 50 degrees colder than your freezer. So the winter weather in the Midwest is legendary for cold, and then once March hit, it starts to snow. And snow, March and February and late, even early April can be very heavy snow. And spring seems like it's never going to come. Like you just keep waiting for that first 70 degree warm day that where your feet don't freeze when they're walking on the grass. And you know it's, you're like, okay, we made it. And I have experienced those days in May, and then on May 6th, you get sleet and snow, or even, you know, accumulative snow. It will snow in June in Minnesota, especially in northern Minnesota, and all up in that part of the country. But down in Virginia, it's pretty hard to have real bitter cold this time of the year, mid-February, late February. The sun is just too strong. So I'm parked in my mom's driveway here in Richmond, basically, and the other day, and I have electric heat in here when I'm plugged up to shore power. The other day, the sun was out, and it was actually hot in here. I had to turn the heat off because the sun is so intense. So if you don't have anything covering the windows up, the sun comes right through the windows, and the radiative effect of coming through windows and down on the roof of the truck heats up the inside of the truck, and you just don't, you know, it's not cold. So that's the way it is in February. But what happens in Virginia, and you can hear it as we speak, is in the winter sometimes you get these heavy rains, which can sometimes turn to snow and can sometimes turn into ice storms. So the ice storm is freezing rain that collects on the trees, and it forms a coating of ice all over everything. If you look at the picture that I used for art for this podcast, you'll see the front of Mobile Podcast Command just covered in ice. And that's what it does. It covers everything in ice. And then as it warms up, because it's never really slightly below or slightly above freezing, today it has warmed up to 41, 40. And then that ice starts to melt. And as the ice collects on the trees and gets heavier and heavier, the tree limbs will just let go. And they can't bear the weight of the ice. And they crack and they fall. And that's what you're hearing in the background. But I have seen whole trees just collapse and let go, or quote-unquote explode from the weight of the ice. The tree just can't handle it. And so that's the biggest danger, is that a tree will fall on you or your house or the car, or a huge branch will break off and fall onto the car. And what you're hearing are pieces of ice falling off the trees and falling on the roof. It's kind of like a hailstorm, but it doesn't have much force. And the ice is very thin, so it falls and it breaks. It doesn't really leave a mark or anything, but it's an amazingly great noise. So, I'm stuck. And the situation here is the power is off, and it has been off for about 24 hours. And the energy company here is, there's a couple of different energy companies here. This house, the house next door, and another house on the other side is Dominion. So there's three or four houses in this neighborhood, probably three or four in the next street over. And you know, you go onto the website and you try to figure out when they're going to come and put the power back on, and you get nothing. You call, and I finally called today, and they were like, well, we haven't got a crew ordered to address this issue, so we'll let you know. And it's been 24 hours. I mean, this is, in Minnesota, where I'm from in Illinois and Minnesota, if the heat is off for any length of time, it will be a disaster. You will have an absolute catastrophe in your house because the pipes will freeze, and we're not even talking about it. At least if the furnace breaks, you can plug electrical equipment, heaters and stuff into the walls, and you can try to get a little heat on those pipes. So for the power to be off that long and for them to be that incompetent in terms of dealing with a power outage is ridiculous. The good news is the house inside is like 54 degrees. I don't know what it is underneath, but I've got little streams of water running in there. But I mean, the power's off and I'm just sitting in the truck with the propane heat on, occasionally starting it up, and that's what you do. There's virtually nothing else to do. Can't go outside. It's either raining or ice is falling all over the place, and so everyone's kind of just hanging out inside. I mean, we have a fireplace in there, but I don't want to get into that because I haven't used that fireplace ever, and I don't want to go in there and start a fire and then have all kinds of other issues like smoke in the house and so forth. So as long as it's not too hot in there, I'm good. And this is what an ice storm sounds like and what it feels like. Not too uncomfortably cold. Like, I've had the heat off in here because it got too warm, but not too real pleasant either. But what I wanted to talk about in this podcast is the adventures of Mobile Podcast Command, because I was talking with my friend Ed Johnson, who sold me this thing, and he was saying, hey, that's my 7.3 diesel, powering through anything. And this 7.3 diesel has been through an awful lot. So I'm going to talk about Mobile Podcast Command and the adventures I've had with this vehicle, because in addition to me on this little nomad journey, this truck is actually as much of a personality in its own way, with all of its little quirks and its weirdness, because it is weird, as I am. And I just love it. And, I've talked about whether or not I should get a new rig. I've talked about what kind of rig I would get. I've talked about what I would do with it. But I've come to really love this vehicle and this, I guess what we call a rig. And I've also learned that in the Nomad community, the rig is really important, and the rig has to have a name, and the rig has to have a personality, and there have to be quirky things about the rig, especially if people have rebuilt school buses or real old campers that they've redone. Things like that are, everybody, you have to have some kind of a crazy story with your rig and kind of a crazy personality with the rig. So as the ice falls on the truck, we'll tell some stories about Mobile Podcast Command. Well, if I wasn't dealing with it, I wouldn't have the experience to recommend to you a great business attorney. That is Virtus Law, and the name is Nathan W. Nelson, because if you're a small business owner, are you thinking strategically is the key question. A lot of guys that own businesses, myself included, think that we're thinking strategically. Maybe we have a lawyer who we think is a couple of steps ahead. But the truth is, to be on top of things today, that's not probably going to be enough. You have to have somebody who actually thinks strategically, and that's Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law. So they serve small businesses and their owners. Visit them online. They have an excellent client interface where you can explain your needs and get a good idea of the legal services at Virtus Law. I've I've talked about Virtus Law before in a lot of the podcasts. I've interviewed Nathan W. Nelson when we started the whole COVID thing, when they were really on top of these loans and grants provided by the government and what you're supposed to do with those. And it just proves how strategic Nathan is. 612-888-1000. That's 612-888-1000. Click on the Virtus Law banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcasts.com. That's V-I-R-T-U-S, Virtus Law, VirtusLaw.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcast.com. Very quickly, the dog fashion show is coming up. It's going to be an online feature, so stay tuned. I'll be giving you details about it soon. If you want to help animals and help the agencies that help animals, then you want to help Inspire and Flourish. Make your tax-deductible contribution to inspireandflourish.org. Just go to inspireandflourish.org or click on their banner at the top of the page at the bobdavispodcast.com. Yeah, poured myself a cup of coffee earlier while I was talking. Having a little sip. And going to talk about some of the adventure stories. So I got this truck in 2014. And the intention was to, as I've often told the story, I don't want to make a big deal. I'm not going to go on for 5 minutes about it because I don't have that much time. So I'm just going to say that I had been driving around the country and doing podcasts from my car. And it was really uncomfortable. And my friend Ed was like, you need a truck. You need something that you can ride around in. And I said, well, I want to get a van. And he said, no, we're going to get you an ambulance. And we got the 2000 Ford ambulance, which has the 7.3 diesel in it, E450. And I've always felt like this thing was going to fall apart and stop running from the time that I got it. Because when I got it, it had 112,000 miles on it. And I said to Ed, 112,000 miles, you know, it's an awful lot of mileage. I'm really kind of worried. He was like, I mean, I paid $4,000 for it, which is hilarious. And he said, Bob, that truck with 112,000 miles on it is like a new truck. You're not going to have anything to worry about. And it had bald tires. I mean, the tires weren't that great. They were almost bald when I got it, but they were functioning. I think it had new steering tires, or relatively new steering tires. Looked to me like the ambulance company bought new tires all around, and they just kept rotating. And so it had some tread, but not a lot. And I'm trying to remember the first trip that I took. I think the first thing I decided to do was go out west and go to Los Angeles. And I went out to Los Angeles. I don't remember much about that trip, except the trip home. And on the trip home, I went up the coast and I went across Montana. Somehow I got into Montana and Wyoming, and I got caught in a big snowstorm. And so that was the first, aside from the rains that I encountered going up the coast, when I got over to Wyoming, this is in early spring, I got into this snowstorm. Now, my friend who used to be on the road with Metallica, and so they used to take tour buses because they would never fly. And there was a bus for the roadies, and then there was a bus for the road crew, you know, the audio guys, and a bus for the band. And then all the semis with everything. And they would literally take a 3,000-mile detour to avoid going across the Continental Divide anywhere in the northern tier of the United States, or even like Colorado, because of the fact that it's very dangerous when you get up in those mountains and you get into a snowstorm. And I remember getting into a snowstorm with this vehicle and coming down the mountain in a whiteout, going 15 miles an hour with the trucks, and we were actually still going up, so we were going up from about 7,000 feet to about 8,000 feet on those mountain roads, and this was the interstate, and I was freaking out anyway because the tires were bald, and then when I got at the top of the mountain, I thought, oh, suddenly the concern was going down the mountain, because what happens if I can't stop? But I made it down. And I didn't stop driving till I got to Nebraska. That was probably the first big weather event that this truck has endured. of course, during the political campaigns that I covered in 2016 and 2020, Iowa, you know, at the beginning of the year is basically the same thing as Minnesota. It's a little bit warmer, but it's windy. There's ice storms. There's snowstorms. It's below zero. And caucus night 2016, I remember I decided to go to a rural caucus. And so I went someplace in Jefferson County, I think it was. And it was a great caucus, and it was really interesting. And I remember it got really cold, and I remember thinking, boy, I'm getting out of here at just the right time. And at that time, I didn't have any other heating system in this thing except letting the truck run all night. So I would let the truck run all night and leave the heat on. And it was quite comfortable, but you were running the diesel all night. And I had been told, don't ever turn it off in the winter. You'll never get it back on. So I was afraid to turn the truck off. And so I would just, it has an exhaust fan in the and stuff. When everything's powered up, you can run the exhaust fan in the back, and it keeps the fumes out of the back, and you just let the thing run. And I would do that, do it at truck stops, all over the place. So winter weather, this thing has been through a lot of winter weather. One of the things I'm looking forward to is summer, just summer in general. My plan this year was that I was going to be in the desert right now. And the truth of the matter is the desert is right now probably, you know, obviously temperature-wise, not as cold as Minnesota. But the thing you don't realize about the desert is that during the day, it's fine because the sun is out, it feels warm. But at night, it gets really cold. So you have that to address. But not cold enough that your truck wouldn't start the next day, but it's cold. And so I have different heating, you know, I have a propane heating system now. I'm looking at getting a diesel heater in here because I think it's, I don't like the condensation from propane. But I'm looking forward to summer weather so that I can just kind of enjoy the heat and wear a t-shirt and not put shoes on and all that. And I was kind of hoping that at this time I'd be out in the California desert or even further south and enjoy some at leastly moderate weather. And then I had to come back to Virginia. And I was like, well, how bad can it get in Virginia? Well, you can hear with the ice storm how bad it can get in Virginia. And it's very humid. So if it goes down to 25, it's pretty dang cold out there. So I have to shut the little partition that separates the front of the truck from the back of the truck. That saves a lot of heat. I also had these moving blankets, and I roll up the moving blanket and put it at the bottom of the door sill on the side so that the most of the cold air comes up through that door seam. And then I have a pretty heavy curtain that I close over the back that kind of keeps the heat in here. But still, if I don't run the propane, then it will get relatively cold in here. I also have an electric blanket, but I don't want to run the batteries down running my electric blanket, so I can turn it on for a couple of minutes and then turn it off. And then I have the hot pockets that go in the sleeping bag, so I'm not cold. And 39, 34, 35 is not, if it's above freezing, it's really not that cold in here. You can't see your breath in here. You can see your breath outside, but you can't see your breath inside. It's the humidity that seeps in that makes it cold. So if you're dry, then you're not that cold. So I was looking forward to summer weather. So let me tell you a summer weather story. One year I went storm chasing and couldn't find a storm to save my life. If you listen to those podcasts, you'll hear me. I went and found my friend Stephen Coy, and he found a storm for me, and it was great. We actually were in a barn during a tornado, and it was really cool. It was a great, great sound and a really good time. But I couldn't get arrested trying to find a storm. Finally, I was in Oklahoma. I don't even remember where this was. I guess it was like May, maybe June. And I was in Oklahoma, and, you know, we have hail in Minnesota, right? Hail happens all over the country. We have hail in Minnesota. And I thought, well, you know, it started hailing. And I was like, this can't be too bad. And then it really started. Like, it was a lot of hail, and it was big. And I was like, I've got to get out of this. And I was driving along, and I couldn't figure out why everyone was heading for the overhangs, like at the gas stations. And then I realized why, and I was like, I've got to find an overhang. And every time I'd go to try to find one, someone else would get there first. finally found a used car lot that was in an old gas station, and I pulled in under the overhang in the used car lot and sat there and got out most of the truck out of the hail. But that's the first time that I had to actually escape hail. Fortunately, there wasn't too much damage. It kind of dented parts of the roof, but other than that, it was fine. Now, the most recent thing that happened that comes to mind is when I was first taking the sort of doing the nomad thing and heading out, my plan was to go down, as we've talked about 100 times, along the Gulf. So this was in December, late November, early December. So late November was pretty much, so I left, I think it was Halloween night. Yeah. So November, went down to Iowa for election night, because that's where it started for me on 2020. And that was really the last political thing that I've done. And then I headed down to Tennessee, saw my friend John Holland. Beautiful weather, really beautiful weather all the way down. Stopped here at Thanksgiving. That was the last time I saw my mom. We had Thanksgiving. And then I headed south and headed on down through the rain, through Asheville and Fort Wiley, or whatever it's called. I think it's called Fort Wiley, or Wiley, North Carolina, or South Carolina, or whatever it is. Kept going on down to the Gulf Coast, and it was cold but windy, but it was still really sunny, and for a guy that was escaping winter, it was pure bliss. But I wouldn't recommend going down to those places, and I talked about that in the podcast. You know, if you're expecting a winter vacation at that time of the year, it's usually not very warm in that part of the country. It's 56, 57, 62, 63. You don't really hit any weather that you would consider hot until you get close to Houston. So Beaumont on down to New Orleans is warm. And I was going to beaches, and I went to two of my favorite beaches all along there, Matagorda and Padre Island and North Padre and all those other places, and camping on the beach. And then I was in Florida for a while camping on the beach. Don't even know where I was. I think it was Pensacola. I don't know. And there's a lot of wind, and the wind pushes this sand. And so I get to Port Aransas, and they were like, camping on the beach is free, and you don't have to worry about it, because the town ran out of beach licenses, so you just go down there and park on the beach, which I did. And I was like, can you have a fire? They don't care in Texas. Yeah, you can have a fire, just right over here. Did a whole podcast about how great it was to have a fire. That night, the wind came up, and it was pretty significant, and it was cold, and the wind came up, and the sand covered the fire, which was fine. And I'm still, like, if I turn the defrost on, I'm still blowing sand from Port Aransas out of my heating system. It's kind of funny. So there's a number of things I think I should have checked. I think I need to have both the alternators checked just because of sand. I've been, you know, sweeping, vacuuming sand out of here consistently for weeks, and it's, you know, it's February, and there's still sand in here from the desert, and still sand in here from the sandstorm, which is the only thing you can describe, because it was literally sand. There were sand drifts. In fact, I was worried about being able to get out the next morning, and there were sand drifts, and it was cold too. I mean, it was really nice the day that I pulled in there. It was like 75, and it was sunny, and people were riding up and down the beach in their golf carts and partying. It was wonderful. That I think that was a Saturday. And then the next morning, it was like 45. It was sunny, but there were literally sand drifts under the truck, in front of the truck, in back of the truck. And I was surprised that I actually got out and headed out. And I've been, you know, brushing sand out of here and wiping sand out of here and blowing sand out of here ever since. So we're talking about many, many miles, thousands of miles in this vehicle. Now it has almost 200,000 miles on, 181 or 82,000 miles on it. My neighbor, my mom's neighbor, just told me, oh, you can run that thing till 400,000 miles before you have to do anything to it, which I'm not sure I buy. This thing still runs great. I'm still trying to figure out what to do with it and how. And I did a whole podcast about it. I don't need to go into that too. But this is my little companion. You know, this truck is now like a character to me. It's like a real thing to me. And it's been through so much. And now, of course, it's been through an ice storm, like a real ice storm. It was coated in ice this morning when I got up. Like when I opened the door, I knocked, the ice sheets broke away because it was literally coated in ice when I got up. And I've been sitting here ever since all day long, either napping or sitting or making coffee or going back and forth into the house, turning on the heat, turning off the heat. As we wait for this ridiculous power company to figure out that they need to get people's heat back on before we have a catastrophe. So something like 100,000 people without power in Virginia, maybe even more, and probably close to, I think it was something like 70,000 or 26,000 without power in the county that I'm in, Chesterfield County. And they haven't been able to do anything about it for 24 hours. Like, you haven't even seen a truck going up and down the street. It's very interesting to me. And I'm going to just throw this out. If this happened in Minnesota at this time of the year, people would be strung up because you have to have heat when it's 20 below. If the heat goes up for any reason when it's 20 below, they are on it. They better be on it really fast. Now, I'm sure somebody will send me a message and say, oh, no, it's the same thing. But I just don't understand why it takes so long. The only thing I'll say about the ice storms here is you can't go anywhere because you literally cannot. You don't want to drive because the roads are very thin, so you don't have much of a shoulder in a lot of the little two-lane roads. The neighborhood roads are glaze ice. Even the main highways are iced in some way, shape, or form. Nobody knows how to drive in it. They go way too fast, or they just spin their tires, and I'm not going anywhere. There's just no reason. On the way down, on the way over here from Arizona, when I was on my way back, my plan was to drive straight through and sleep for a few hours at a shot, and I got to the Smoky Mountains, and a sleet storm and snowstorm and ice storm developed, and I went and parked immediately. I got off the road within 10 minutes of seeing the snow because it's not even worth trying, you know, to go anywhere. I posted something on Facebook and somebody was like, I wouldn't be driving anywhere except to something. And I was like, no, I'm not. The whole point of that post of the picture of the truck was I'm not driving anywhere. It's sitting in a driveway, but nobody's going anywhere. We're just trying to protect our property because the power's off and hopefully wait for the crews to get here. Wouldn't be a Bob Davis podcast without mentioning 36 and Lynn, the independent refueling station in the Lynn Lake neighborhood at 36th and Lindale Avenue South in South Minneapolis. They're awesome. They have food trucks there at lunch. They do great events during the summer. They're really involved in the community. And the store is the special sauce because there's all kinds of great locally sourced items in the store and great coffee. Say hello to those guys because they're great. Check them out online at 36lynn.com, on Instagram at 36Lynn, the independent refueling station, which means they get a better deal on fuel, which means you get a better deal on fuel at 36Lynn, 36 and Lindale Avenue South in South Minneapolis in the Lynn Lake neighborhood, 36Lynn. Don't forget the Bob Davis podcast is sponsored by Cartridge World, which asks the simple question, why pay more to print? And one wonders why. Why do people do it? You can save up to 30% compared to the big box stores on those massive print cartridges that cost so much money at the big box retailers. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Qualifying businesses can get free printers. Cartridge World is serving the universe from Maple Grove. Call them. I don't care where you are. If you're in a Virginia ice storm and your phone works, call them. 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632. Or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So now Mobile Podcast Command has weathered a Virginia ice storm. God only knows what fate befalls it next. Thanks for listening to podcast 982, the Bob Davis Podcast, trapped in a Virginia ice storm.
someone who likes the champagne I like. My A like someone to talk me off the bridge any day or night. She teach me how to live, she ain't afraid of life. Not easily impressed with the rich and famous life, cause she done been there and heard all the rumors before. She love art, she ride out with me on my music tour. She like the herbs, natural medicine, she cooking good. She tell me everything is cool and ain't looking good. For real, the world's so ill. Yo, I want a girl so real who not after material wealth but get dough still. Or maybe an educator, a lady with etiquette who could be from out the hood or either work for the president, as long as there's no selfishness. Yes, as long as her love for the people is deep rooted and evident, you could be easily recruited, your heaven sent. Your smile put me at ease, you the woman I need, but where is she?
Where is he?